I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Well, here we go. Another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Spirits with Spirits live Tuesday night on Facebook. That's when this is being recorded. And if you're watching it right now, that's what you're seeing. We are right here. If you're listening to it, be sure to be tuning in every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Central on Facebook for us doing this episode live. And as we do it live, we take phone calls live. Phone number is on your screen. It's only live when we're doing this show, which is 216-446-7810, 216-GHOST-10 to call in your real ghost story live. That's how it works. And that's our program for the night. Good night, everybody. Thanks for watching. this week on Spirits with Spirits, as that's kind of what we do, Virgil Caine is our featured one this week. And I don't believe this one has not been broken into by Jenna yet.
I didn't break into the others. They somehow
managed. I believe if you look at their up over there, the levels, I don't think they came that way.
Come that way, but I don't think I did it.
Maybe you coerced your. Is that, what's the word?
Coerced.
Coerced. And I haven't even drinking yet. Coerced your. I'm still saying it wrong. Your husband into opening them for you or something of that nature.
I don't remember anything. To trying like that. Them.
I have not tried this one yet. I thought it looked rather interesting. And they have a Barren Rye Whiskey, a Rip Track Bourbon, and this is the ginger-infused bourbon. What's interesting about these guys is this is produced by two guys who are actually food people, chefs, trained chefs, successfully trained chefs, and love bourbon. And they thought, you know what? Let's create something really good, really amazing, but not necessarily follow in the footsteps or the track or the to-do list of every other bourbon company out there and all that. We're going to do it our own way. We're going to use our chef minds to create our brew, and this is what they've come up with, and it's really quality. I will say I have tasted it. It's good stuff. It is really good, and we'll try it on the show tonight. But I'm excited about this one first as we get into it. This is the ginger-infused bourbon. Would you like some of this one?
Sure.
Ta-da.
Thank you.
I was going to have you say stop and just keep pouring. That should last for a little while.
Yeah.
So, ginger-infused bourbon. I like that. You get the ginger, you almost get some orange peel in there, you get...
That's very good.
It's a good one. So, Virgil Caine, if you can find it, try it. They are our spirit, with spirit of the evening.
Where are they from?
Kentucky, I believe. Take a look at the bottle, I think. I did my research on them about...
It's produced and bottled in North Charleston, South Carolina.
South Carolina. I'm completely wrong on that.
So when we make it to Charleston sometime, we're going to go there.
That'd be good.
That's been on our list of places to go.
Yeah. So we have, because it's nice and spooky there too, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
They got all sorts of spooky ghost walk stuff and whatnot. And wouldn't you know, as soon as I... to turn on our computer to get going here. We need to update it. Please restart. I don't think so. We're doing a live show. So we're not going to restart and wait for Windows to come back. So hopefully it stays there. I didn't hit restart, but you never know. So there you go. Our phone number tonight, 216-446-7810, 216-446-7810 to share your ghost story with us live. We'll take those calls live as you would like to make them. 216-GHOST-10. Let's see here. Should we go to one of these calls?
Sure.
And hear a real ghost story. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Tony. I love you. Your guys' show is great. My name is Christy. I'm from Georgia, if you can't tell from the accent. But anyway, I come from a family that we've just pretty much, at a very young age, I've had crazy stuff happen to me. My family, my grandmother was a Cherokee Indian and always seemed to have attract the paranormal. But so my husband and I moved into his parents' old house, or the house that he grew up in, about 4 years ago. And shortly after we moved in, his parents are still alive. They live next door. I saw the shadow figure. My husband works at night and I was here by myself. And I saw the shadow figure come up to the door and actually have to lean his, it looked like a male figure, his head down to get through the door. Now, the backstory on this, and at this time, I did not know anything about this, but my husband's grandfather, his mother's father, died before he was born. And apparently, he looked a lot like my husband, except he was a little taller and actually had the same personality and everything. So anyway, I didn't know this, and I ended up telling my mother-in-law, and like, she went completely pale white, and she repeated me. She said, so you're telling me that he had to duck his head to fit in the door? And I said, yeah. She said, when he used to come over to the house, that's how he would come into the hallway, and it was exactly like the hallway. So that kind of freaked me out. I thought, well, maybe, I don't know, I just kind of blew it off, because, you know, crap like that's always happened to me and my family. So about a month ago, I was sitting at the kitchen table doing some work, computer work, and my husband, again, works at night. And I looked out of the corner of my eye, because from our kitchen, you can see down into the family room. And we have a glass door leading out from the outside, which is the door that my husband always comes into when he comes in at night. And I didn't think he was coming home early, but I saw this tall guy that looked just like my husband, like, walked real fast. And I did a double take, and I didn't see him, because if you duck around the corner, of course you can't see into the living room. And I hollered his name, didn't hear anything. So I went down there, and there's nobody there. And so I'm freaking out, because I know what I saw. I mean, I'm not on any type of medication or anything like that. I know what I saw. So I called my husband, and he hadn't even left work yet. So when he got home, I told him, and he's like, this guy being my grandfather, the thing is, why is he appearing to you but not to me? So if you could answer that question for me, that would be great. I mean, you think that he's kin to my husband, so why would he not appear to my husband but appear to me? It's strange. But anyway, thanks so much, and I love your show. Bye.
Thanks for calling in and sharing the story. So why would the ghost only appear to her and not to the husband?
I don't think he is only appearing to her. I think he probably does attempt to appear to the husband because he's related to the husband, mm-hmm. but she's the only one that can see it. Mm. I don't think it's a why me and not you. It's I can see it, but you can't.
He's trying to seduce you from the grave.
No, that's terrible.
That's what's going on.
No, I think that's what it is. I think he's still just looking out, and he probably doesn't really want to be caught or be seen, but he's just letting everybody know that he's around.
I agree.
And it could be, too, that maybe he knows that you can see him and the husband can't.
I think that's probably a lot of it, where he might be aware of who's sensitive enough to pick up on this, and that's why he's going in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
So exactly what Jenny said.
Okay.
Not what I said, although my is a little more funny, but it's not exactly right.
That's normal.
So,
hey,
there you go.
Call.
Hey, let's go to that caller. Let's see what we have on the line here. Caller at 519. Hi, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Karen calling from Ontario, Canada.
Well, hello, Karen from Canada.
I called a couple weeks ago.
Yes. Right when we started allowing Canadians to be part of our show. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
You're kind of a fun group.
You are a fun group. I love our Canadian audience. We have a lot of great stories that come out of there. So what sort of story you got for us tonight, Karen?
Well, a couple weeks ago when I called, I talked about all the interesting things that happened in our house, and I'm going to talk about what has happened in my work.
Okay.
Specifically regarding long-term care.
Okay.
So I've worked in a few different long-term care homes. The first one I'll talk about in our city, and I'm not going to say the city name just because I want to protect us. Just keep them.
Sure. Sure.
This first place, it was originally a hospital that was built in the 1950s, and it was run by nuns. And it was a very successful, well-known hospital. In the 1960s, they added a long-term care wing. And so this hospital and this long-term care wing, they functioned for a number of years until about the 1990s, when they added in like a third wing. It was like an updated, new, modern, sleek long-term care facility. And shortly after that, they condemned the original 1950s hospital. I mean, like, it was pretty old and it was bad.
Sure.
So when I rolled around in the 2000s, being employed there as a member of sort of, I worked and was in sort of an alternative therapy. Anyway. I was talking to I was all excited because I was like, oh, there's this, must be haunted, this condemned part of the building. And I was talking to this senior hospital or senior security guard, and he was this tall, skinny guy, and he believed in ghosts. And so I told him I believed in ghosts, and I was like asking, have you like seen or heard anything? And he's like, well, actually, yeah, there's occasionally noises. We kind of see some shadows, whatnot. So I asked him, well, can you take me for a tour in this condemned part of the building? And so one night he actually did. And so another staff member, she came with me and this guard. Then we went up to the top floor of this condemned part of the building. And we walked through, and it was all dark. Like he couldn't turn the lights on. And I remember we walked onto the fourth floor, and he feels in his pocket, and he's like, oh, man, I forgot my flashlight. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? And he pulls out a pen light. So we walk down the hallway, and we've got this pen light as our only light. And you can see at the end of the hallway an exit sign. And as well, the only other light was coming through it was street light coming through the windows because it was nighttime. So it was really eerie. And the floor when I was walking, it felt like walking on marshmallows or jello. Like it was really bizarre. And it was so heavy in there, like it was just almost oppressive, and it was kind of hard to breathe. And I remember like walking past these rooms, and you'd see furniture, like leftover bed frames from the 1960s, turned over. So it was really creepy and eerie. And then his freaking pen light died by the time we got to the end of the first hallway. So we ended up touring down, I think the next floor and down to, I think down to the second floor, like basically just from the light coming through the rooms. And we finally pulled into a room and I was like, my heart was racing and I just didn't feel that well, actually. And so we're standing there just kind of gathering ourselves. And then all of a sudden from the room beside us was the noise of, you know, when you have a broom leaning up against a wall and then it slides down the wall and just like, and then boom, hits the floor.
Sure.
So that happened from the room beside us. And I jumped out of my skin. The woman, my coworker, she burst out laughing because she didn't believe in ghosts. I meanwhile, I almost peed myself. The guard was kind of nervous giggle, and he just thought it was hilarious, or at least the woman did. So we finished our tour, but it was really creepy because it was just the energy in there. It was so oppressive. And like, even like they had rooms where, like observation rooms where they had the one-way mirror or the two-way mirror, I guess. So that was that one section. So, oh, sorry. And we actually went into the rooms beside where we heard the noise. There was no rooms. There was nothing that fell. It was just this random noise that had happened. So probably, I think it was like less than a year later, I was working one Saturday by myself and they had this big special exercise room for rehab. And so our little area that we had computers and no one else was with me. No one worked on weekends except for me. Lights were off. I was trying to make sure people didn't know really I was there because I was trying to get notes done. And I'm typing away and all of a sudden I hear something fall in the exercise room, like something just kind of slid again along the wall and hit the floor. And I get up and I look and there's a cane that had rested for the last month in a corner. And suddenly it was on the floor. I thought, how in the heck did a cane fall when it has the rubber end? Mm-hmm. And it had rested literally in the nook of, the corner. So I was kind of glad to actually quit the job there and move on to another long-term care home where I met some I got some really good stories actually from a coworker of mine. She's a nurse and she surprised me with her stories because I kind of pictured her as a very straight-laced, wouldn't believe in this kind of stuff, but she did. And she actually told me some stories that were kind of hairy. And I thought, I don't know how you do your job. Apparently at this other long-term care home that had been quite old before it was demolished. At that time when she was working there, they took residents who actually were fairly healthy. Like they were basically like they could have gone into a retirement home and they would stay for years and then eventually die. But anyway, so one day she went into work and there was a resident who had been a long-term resident. She had passed away that morning. And one of the habits that this resident had had was every night at 8 o'clock, she would press the call bell because she wanted a particular pain medication. And so when she showed up for work that evening, she found out that this resident had passed away. And it was tough because this was someone everybody knew for a really long time. So she, found out about this resident passing and she started doing her usual duties. And then at 8 o'clock, the call bell went off in that resident's room. And so she was freaked out, but she had to go and check the room. So she walked down the hallway and of course the door is locked. So she unlocked it and she actually had to go to the bed to turn off the call bell at the bedside. That's the only way you could turn it off. So that was the one story she told me. And then the other one was a number of times she would be doing her late evening rounds and she'd be giving medications to a resident in one of the rooms. And she'd actually see her med cart get pushed past the room and there was no one behind it. And the facility that I work in right now, I have a staff member who was probably about a year ago. She was doing a late night sort of a check of she was dropping something off. And so she was walking past an area, an outside staff door. And all of a sudden she heard, and it was literally the middle of the night, she heard the door rattle, mm-hmm. the door handle rattle. And she freaked out. She screamed and ran for help, got an RN from one of the floors. And he came and he looked and they opened the door. There was nobody out there. And after the weekend, they actually checked the cameras and you could see where she was inside the hallway and you could see her react to something at the door and running away. Mm-hmm. At the same time, you can, from another camera, see the outside. There's nobody outside that door. So she was literally, the door rattled and she was rattled and freaked out. We don't know what it was. And I found out since then that a number of staff have actually experienced this, where doors are suddenly, the handles are rattling and shaking. So
wow.
Long-term care homes.
Yeah. I mean, that's an interesting thing about those places. Because we talk about quite often, you know, once someone passes, do they go back to the place they love, to their home? And then you get the haunted house. Or, you know, you have a lot of cases like this where it's a long-term or a late-life care facility, and they seem to still be there.
Well, I think in some cases they may not realize they're gone yet. Like okay. The lady that pressed the button at 8 o'clock the night she died, because she's probably still figuring out what's going on. And that may have been something she was able to manipulate.
Yeah.
So I think once they kind of get it, then they move on. But I think there's such a high turnover of residents that it seems like they're always haunted. But I think the spirits that haunt long-term care facilities come and go quite drastically.
Okay. That makes some sense. And some of the ones she was talking about, it almost sounded like, is this a residual type thing or is this a conscious thing? And it seemed like a mix of the two, not like it was the same one.
Sure.
You know, every time. Thanks for calling in and sharing those stories with us tonight.
Thank you. Have a great night.
All right. You too. Bye-bye. Bye. All right. Phone lines are open if you want to call in and share a ghost story. 216-446-7810, 216-GHOST-10. And I just want to remind our listeners who are tuning in on the podcast version of this, which is after the fact of us recording this live on a Tuesday night, that's not the number to call normally. You call a regular number if it's not Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Central. But if you're watching right now live on Facebook, that would be the number to call in. I saw Glenn says that he wants to call in his true ghost story from when he worked at a hotel, formerly the Summit Hotel, in 2013. So that I would love to hear that. I love haunted hotel stories. There's always some very interesting ones. We have listeners all over the country, all over the world tonight, from New Zealand to Chicago to West Jordan to El Paso, and you name it. People are tuning in. So thank you guys for tuning in and checking in on the comments. Please do call in. The phone lines are completely open. 216-446-7810. 216-446-7810. If you want to share your story, you can be first in line as of right now if you pick up the phone and dial. You ever had a haunted or been in a haunted hotel that you're aware of? Other than like the one in Kansas City that we had dinner at?
Not other than that one that I'm aware of.
Never stayed at a haunted hotel by choice.
You know, I would venture to guess some of the hotels I've stayed in New York probably have some spirits there, but I didn't feel anything, didn't have any experiences.
No. Okay. I can say I have, but, never have had an actual experience. Other than having a great night of sleep. We talked about that earlier on the show we recorded today at that one place in Michigan where I was actually doing a ghost investigation type thing on the morning show I was doing. And what's paranormal for me is sleeping the whole night through.
That is very paranormal.
And I had not slept better ever since I stayed there, which was now probably 15 years ago. And I had not slept that good since. But my co-host, who was across the hall, said she was hearing people in the halls all night long. And we were the only ones there.
Yeah.
So I guess that kind of counts as semi-paranormal.
I think so. For you to not get up and pee in the middle of the night is freaky ass shit.
Well, no one said I didn't do that. I just didn't get up. That's all that is. Hi, you are on the air.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. My name is Zoe, and I'm from Cary, Illinois. Just wanted to talk in a Walt Disney World themed story. This was that way a long time ago. I'm 24 now, and this happened when I was, I want to say, 15. I had a friend in high school whose parents decided to take all of us, it was probably like seven or eight girls, to Disney World for my friend's birthday. So very nice of them. It was an amazing trip, I remember. But this particular incident happened at the Rock and Roller Coaster ride. It's the ride with like Aerosmith themed, and you go in a really fast car, and it was a fun ride. And her parents were quite wealthy and had actually bought us like fast pass tickets so that we could skip the line and go on rides as many times as we wanted. So of course we did that on this ride. It was super fun, and I remember this so vividly. It was maybe like the third or fourth time that we had decided to get on the ride, and my friend Jen sat behind me, and there was a gentleman in line. He was probably, I want to say, in his 50s or 60s, just a middle-aged man. That's all I can kind of remember about him, but she was the odd person out and didn't have anyone to sit with in our group to go on the ride with, so she asked him, like, hey, do you mind if I sit here? And I clearly remember him being like, oh, yeah, of course. So we get on the ride, and we go on the ride, and I remember distinctly around the time where they take your picture on the ride, I remember kind of looking behind me and looking at the man and my friend Jen, and Jen ended up doing bunny ears on the man. So that was pretty funny. I was like, oh. And I remember the man not really having any reaction to it, which I thought was a little bit strange. But anyways, we get off the ride, we go around, and then we go to where they have all the cameras where you can view your picture on the ride. And we go ahead and look at where our picture is, and my friend Jen is distinctly making bunny ears in the seat next to her, but there's no one sitting there. So there was no man sitting there in the picture. He was just gone. He just vanished. So I don't know what that means. Maybe my memory isn't correct, but I remember thinking that afterwards, and then remembering it a few years later and asking Jen about it. And she was like, yeah, I remember that. It's really weird. So that was one of the craziest experiences I've had. If I ever decide to tell another one, I'll call back. But I thought that was interesting. I know there's a lot of different kind of lores and legends that Disney World is haunted. Certain sections are haunted, and there's some weird things that go on. But, you know, I just thought that was really strange. So I want to know your thoughts on it. And, yeah, that was probably maybe the top craziest paranormal experience I've had. So love the show. I can't afford to be an EPP, but keep up the good work. I really enjoy listening to the show. So thanks.
You know, every once in a while we get a story from one of the parks. I think there's a lot of stuff there.
I think so. I think people choose to go there in their afterlife. Why wouldn't
yeah,
you?
Exactly.
I mean, it's the happiest place on earth, supposedly.
It's one of the places that, you know, the living want to go to all the time. Mm-hmm. I would only imagine that there's a lot of people that would be like, oh, I'm dead. How do I get to Disney?
You know, my first thought when she was telling the story is, oh my gosh, he probably went on this ride and had a heart attack. Because have you ridden that one?
I have not, and it's not on my fast pass list.
It's 0 to 60 yeah. and like ridiculous, and it's really loud and very fast, yeah. all in the dark, and I could see it easily giving somebody a heart attack that maybe doesn't realize they have something going on with their heart.
I agree. I would like to know. I mean, that's and the thing is, I know people who've worked within the parks, and a lot of the, I mean, that stuff does happen.
It does.
It's very hushed.
Yeah.
No, very hushed. So there's not a lot you know about it. But I one of the things I want to do is compile stories about the parks. From the stories, because we've gotten several over the years.
You'd probably get a boatload of money from Disney just to not
publish. Just to not publish the book. Yeah, exactly.
So do it. Do it.
Hi, caller at 706. Who's this? Where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Mary Frances from Northwest Georgia.
Well, hello, Mary Frances from Northwest Georgia. I think my principal's name in high school was Mary Fran.
Oh, really?
But she's dead, so.
Oh.
Oh, no.
So she'd be coming back and haunting us. She had this hair that looked like a skunk was living on her head. Anyhow, she did. I swear to God.
What random shit to say.
I
Sorry,
swear
Mary
to
Frances.
God, it looked like there was a... I'm assuming you probably don't. Unless she's yes,
no,
I do.
Not,
I'm sorry. Great. Good to hear. Good to hear.
My kids have been begging me to call in and tell a story. I have a couple.
Okay, let's hear it.
When I was five, I had a cat named Pharaoh, and he was a black cat with a little white crescent moon on his tummy. The best cat ever, because he would let five-year-olds carry him around, let them put clothes on him, put him in a baby carriage. He was really sweet, and one day he was hit by a car, and it was the first death I ever experienced, and mm-hmm. so we were all heartbroken. But 2 days after he had died, I remember getting out of the car after school, and I saw a little black tail and hindquarters run around the house, so I got up and ran after them, and there was nothing there, and I figured it was my imagination for years, and then this past Thanksgiving, my sister told me she had experienced the same thing. And so said, no, really. And then, so that's my first story.
Okay.
And later, when I was older, we lived in a different house. And this house had some weird little things that would happen. Every now and then, the dogs would just stop stiff and with their hair raised on the back of their necks and watch something go across the ceiling. And they would do that every month or so. And then one night when I was about 15, I had a really messy room. And this room had baseboard electric heaters. And one night when I was sleeping, someone got right in my ear and said, if you don't wake up now, there's going to be a fire. So I woke up and I went over to where the heaters were, and I had shoved a plastic laundry basket against the heater, and it was melting.
Ah.
Wow. So whatever ghost it was very kind and helpful. And it could have been a very nasty ghost, because I used to scare myself silly with ghost stories all the time. But didn't ever scare me, just wanted me to know there might be a fire.
It makes you wonder sometimes about the ghosts and their purpose, or their intents, I should say. Because if the house were to burn down, they may not have a place then to haunt.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to wonder.
Yes.
I mean, you have to wonder, you know, I mean, how was that the only time that it really kind of came out and did something for the good, giving advice, helping, and things of that nature?
Pretty much. It was a very quiet sort of ghost. It
sure.
Didn't do much and wasn't ever scary.
Yeah.
So
that's good. I mean,
I need to know there was a problem.
Maybe not so much in this case, but I'm just saying in general, when you have the ghost, it's like suddenly kind of like is, tormenting all the time, but then all of a sudden does something for good. And we've had that
mm-hmm.
where it's like, what was that? Was it a different ghost? I almost wonder sometimes if it's like, okay, now I really have to warn them about this, because, yeah, it'll hurt them, but it will also take away my place, too. So I'm going to be selfish now and wake this person up, because they can control moving that.
Well, and you got to wonder sometimes if they, you know, they kind of act like you would towards a sibling or a roommate,
sure.
you know, you kind of pester each other. But then, you know, when it gets serious, it gets serious. And, mm-hmm. you know, they've got to stop the potential fire.
The ghost is suddenly like, shit just got real. I got to stop haunting and I got to start
that,
helping.
But I figured you would go there as soon as I said what I said.
That's what they're thinking.
Yeah.
That's what's going through the mind of the ghost. Shit just got real. That's
awesome.
Thank you. I really enjoy this.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And my kids do too. They're...
I'm glad I could swear in front of them. I'm sorry.
All right. Bye.
Have a good night. I'm sorry, the call dropped there. That was a good story. I had a story that was told to me earlier today from a vintner in Texas, because we're getting ready for Texas Wine Month. on your show, which is, it was Junkin' with Jenny, but we've changed the name, if you hadn't heard this last week, to Confused Room. So we're not, it's the same sort of show, just focusing on room design. We do wine over on that show, not spirits.
Yeah.
And we do it live on Thursday nights at 8 o'clock
it's
Central.
Our creative juices.
It our creative juice. Think. Yeah. And I was talking with a vintner in Texas, and she was like, oh, I have ghost stories too. And she was telling me that at the winery that they were, at the home that she was just living in before they moved, that they had about 3 weeks to go before they were ready to get out of there. And they consistently heard a voice, low rumbling, saying, get out of my house.
Gosh.
I'm like, just kind of bide your time at that point. And like, you only had 3 weeks left. But I, she's like, yeah, we just were like, be quiet. We're leaving anyhow.
Yeah.
So, and then I guess there was some stories of, I guess not their current location, but their former location, where literally cases of wine would be pushed off of the shelves. Hmm. And onto the ground, and she got really upset because it would break wine.
Well, sure.
But that, I guess, happened quite frequently.
What part of the state do you know?
Off the top of my head, I don't know.
You wouldn't remember.
She called me after I had emailed her, and I didn't go back and reference the email to see exactly where it was from, because I'd emailed a couple in different parts of the state.
But I'm just curious.
We'll know soon.
Yeah.
Because they're sending some for the show.
So. Yeah.
That was an interesting story.
Chug the rest of what's in your cup so we can try another one.
You're already.
I had a quarter of what you poured yourself.
This is pure. You did not pour the same thing.
You did not.
This is pure pressure.
You did not pour the same thing.
I did. Mine just
I melted. Don't think we want to have a repeat of like Jenny 3 weeks ago. So
I think Jenny's trying to do that right now.
No, I'm just ready for something else.
Okay, you pick it.
Rye. I like rye.
Okay. Quick question. In my call a couple weeks ago, I mentioned seeing old women quite clearly in my doorway repeatedly every night at 2:30 a.m. I wake up desperate to not wearing my glasses. What are your thoughts on this? Does one need glasses to see ghosts?
No, because you're not seeing them. You think you're seeing them with your eyes, but I think sometimes you're seeing them with your mind.
I think sometimes you're seeing them with your eyes. I would say both. I think it sure. really depends. So I think, yes, KJ, in some cases, yes, you do. I think it really depends on the experience and what exactly is going on.
I think if you, before I had the eye surgery and you're blind as a bat like I was, mm-hmm. that you're still going to see stuff.
Okay.
If you're meant to see it.
Would it stand out that even more because it's more...
Yeah.
Telepathic?
Well, it's going to be very confusing because you'd be like, wait, I don't have my glasses on. That's going to be paranormal in itself.
Sure. And that's what I'm saying. Would it stand out to you that much more because suddenly this is fairly clear and everything else is not?
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. That's the answer to that question. I have a cat ghost story, kind of.
Okay.
Not really. I mean, it's not much of one other than my parents' home has really poor... airflow, I guess, so to speak. Like you open a door and then another door on the other side of the house will open. This has happened my entire...
That's just pressure.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it's always been. In summer, it's 10 times worse because the pressure builds up and all that. But they said that, and I should preface this, their cat, which was my cat for several years, my first cat when I was 18 years old, and I moved away. A few weeks after I moved away, I got this cat, and I named it Scruffles, which was after a bit that I actually... It's funny, Scruffles existed years before I ever had Scruffles on the radio as this fictitious cat in radio bits. And horrible things would always happen to this fictitious cat. Mm-hmm. And then when I finally moved away and I got a cat, I named it Scruffles after all of the bits. Well, Scruffles lived 18 years and she passed away yesterday after a long and happy life as a kitty. In the last several, she's lived with my parents in Wisconsin. But my mom had said that earlier, I believe it was this evening, the door to the basement suddenly just kind of creaked open a little bit.
Yeah. Like she was coming out of there.
And they both kind of looked like,
yeah,
what's going on? And obviously no ghost cat apparition came out or anything, yeah. But I would say to look out for that, because I, in that very same house, would have been two cats ago.
So Kitty.
Okay. Yeah. So this would have been like 1989, 1990. No, actually I think a little bit later than that. Anyway, early 90s. The cat passed away, and the cat always used to sleep on my bed. And I've told this story before. Every night, you know, I just feel, you know, that feeling of the cat at the end of your bed.
Sure.
Sometimes a little bit of little pawing going on.
Yeah.
And I swear to you, for many years after that, I would still sometimes also feel this thing at the end of my bed. Mm-hmm. And I was halfway asleep and I think, oh, it's the cat. Not thinking that our current cat that we got after that did not like me, did not come to my room for any reason whatsoever. And I'm thinking, oh, Murphy was really being affectionate, you know, mm-hmm. Like this is a nice change for this evil cat. And I look down, there's no cat. There's nobody there.
No.
But I think it was Kitty.
Yeah.
Kind of being a ghost cat for a little while. And I was trying to find pictures yesterday of Scruff, because I had some really funny ones when I had gotten her.
Were you dressed her up like a pimp?
I did dress her up like a pimp. I had, we had this event at the radio station, and it was like a 70s themed event. So I had all of, it was called Disco Cures Cancer. And I had this outfit that was just extreme with gold chains and all sorts of very interesting pimp looking outfit and attire. And I decided one day, I'm going to put some of the chains on the cat, and it wasn't like hurtful or heavy.
Like plastic.
Yeah, it was costume jewelry, and then I put a martini glass down, and I put some of her food in it, and she's just a little kitten, and I have this picture of her standing up on her paws, wearing gold chains, eating out of a martini glass. And I so wanted to find it yesterday to be R.I.P.
Yeah.
Just because it was a cute, she was a fun cat, a very, very lovable animal. I thought it was interesting to hear about the door.
I'm not going to try and choke you up on purpose, but sure. I was wondering, do you think she knew that that might have been the last time to see you at Christmas, and that's why she was super friendly?
I don't know. I mean, she, for the last several trips, has been kind of, you know, off by herself and mm-hmm. all that. And the last Christmas time, she really was friendly.
She wanted to play with the kids even.
Yeah. She ran around with a laser pen, and
yeah,
it was like, I was honestly thinking that how healthy she was acting at Christmas. I'm like, we're probably going to see her in summer, you know, because yeah. I was just thinking she's, you know, cause I thought the previous trip we had gone that was going to be it. She did have her nine lives. There was many, many times in there where my mom was like, she hasn't eaten in a couple of days. I don't know what's going on. The vet doesn't know. It might be it. I swear at least five
sure.
times that happened over the last 10 years.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was good to see her that way for the last time, mm-hmm. seeing her kind of in a happy, healthy, not lethargic, you know, light. So, good kitty. If you have a call you want to call in, 216-446-7810, 216-446-7810. I'd love to hear that, haunted hotel story. If you want to call that in, our listener who has that story, is actually calling from, or is in, Ogden, Utah.
Ogden.
I say it wrong.
I say
everything wrong.
We practiced this before.
It doesn't matter.
We drank the other night.
I can't say basic English words, more or less names of towns. Okay. So just that's the irony of me doing a show where I have to speak.
I know.
Is I'm not good at it.
We'll work on it, honey.
So someday Hooked on Phonics will work for me. Let's go to one of these calls and hear a ghost story.
Hey, White.
Oops. Stand by. Hi.
Hi, guys. Well, I am going to attempt to tell you another story
I've called in previously, and I tried to tell a story that's not extremely long and drawn out, but here it goes. Let me tell you a little bit about the history. My husband at the time was just my boyfriend, and his family home is on land that's been owned for 5 generations. The house originally was built in the 20s, and they added on since then. But before we got married, we lived in this home, and the older part was our bedroom. He was living there to help take care of his mother, and I moved in. And this house was huge. This is in the South. And there was always this feeling of being watched for me. I hated being alone in that house because it was so big, but so ominous feeling. There was just this, you know, I just felt as if though I was being watched and almost judged. And, you know, my husband had told me stories of, as a kid, that, you know, he had seen like a white kind of apparition come down the stairs. And again, this was a very old house, and the land itself, you know, was very, you know, long generation of Stocktons. So the first thing I ever saw was, you know, I saw orbs. And to be honest with you, I've had a lot of experiences. I don't know whether I'm sensitive or I just happened to be in the right place at the right time. So anyways, of course, you know, his grandmother and his grandfather had died in the house, and I knew that. But one night, I was watching a movie, and he had gone downstairs to make us popcorn and all those things that go along with watching a movie. And I was sitting there, and our TV faced the door, and the door was cracked open. And I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, I saw something walk by. And what I saw was like a gray wool pant type of fabric. And I thought, am I crazy? And I'm like, no, you know, I know that's what I saw. I know it wasn't him, because when you walked up the the stairs, my husband has a very heavy foot. There's no mistaking he's coming. And so I knew it wasn't him. And he came upstairs probably about 15 minutes later. And I didn't say anything, just because I was still kind of trying to wrap my mind around it. And the next morning, I was like, you know, I told him about the experience. I told him about the gray wool pants. And he goes, hold on. And he goes into the other room, and he comes back. And he had gone to his grandfather's chest in the next room that held all his stuff. And there was these gray wool pants, the exact fabric, color, everything that I had seen the night before. And I just was like, oh my God, that is so weird. I had lived there. I had seen the trunk, but I never thought anything about it. I just thought it was a decorative item. I never realized that it held any of those items or anything like that. So that was a really cool confirmation that I saw what I saw. Even though I knew it, it was really cool to have that evidence to back it up. So anyways, and the other thing that I had seen there, or actually heard, I should say, was Christmas, the day after Christmas, I was putting my makeup on to go to work, and my husband was sleeping, and his mother wasn't there. She'd gone to the store, because I had gone down to make coffee, so I knew we were completely alone. And all of a sudden, I heard a child giggling, and it, you know, a child laughing is a very distinctive sound. So I know that's what I heard. There was no TV on downstairs or in our bedroom. But of course, later I tell him about it, and he told me that there was actually a child that had passed away in the house, years and years ago. So that's my story. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And I'll probably call in with another one. Thanks, guys. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
I love that the husband came back with the pants. Just that's the perfect confirmation of who you saw. Not doubting ever what you saw, but mm-hmm. just exactly who it was. It was him wearing his pants.
It answers the question.
Yeah.
Very clearly. So there's not a whole lot of wondering of who came back or why. I mean, the why maybe, but the yeah. who. Yeah, that is very much answered. How is the rye tasting, Jenny, says Chandra.
I love it. I'm a big rye fan, so I can't tell you what kind of notes or anything I get from it because I don't have that sophisticated of a palate, but I think it's very, very good.
Smoky.
Is it smoky?
Smoky, smooth. It's good. It's just good.
It's my favorite. In fact, at any holiday, I usually get into my father-in-law's rye and drink more of it than I should, and I don't leave much for him, so I kind of feel bad about that. So I'm kind of stockpiling a little bit for
and he
the
cries.
Holiday.
He cries a little bit.
He does not. I think he secretly likes that I drink what he drinks.
He's like, why did it all go away? Who took it all? And I just kind of point at you, and that's kind of what happens. So there you go.
No.
That's not quite what happens. So this is kind of interesting. We are planning on some new giveaways, if you will, when we do the yearly EPP memberships. As you're probably well aware, bunk bed bells have been the thing, and we still have them. I just got a whole new shipment of them in. So there's plenty to go around if bunk bed bell is what you want. But soon... In the coming probably a month or two, really, because it'll take some production time on this. I want to get your guys' feedback on this here live tonight as far as which one we should do. And I thought it really just kind of fits in with what we do with spirits. I think you may predict where I'm going with this, but here is our options for our next extra premium when you buy a yearly EPP membership to Real Ghost Stories online or renew your yearly EPP membership. You just drop me a note and I can get you one of these once we get them in. They're not in yet. This is just the beginning of it, but take a look at this. Huh? Spirits. And I'm trying to think of what to call them. I know they're flasks, obviously, but, you know, spirit cases, spirits, something with the word spirit, just to kind of...
Yeah.
Any ideas, anyone? This is, you know, I look at this show kind of almost as the testing ground for some ideas and names, and sometimes you guys have really good ideas for it. But what could we call?
And this one is adorable.
Yeah.
But it is so little.
This is the grown-up.
If you carry this with your one shot, it's like in case of emergencies, kind of hidden in your purse kind of thing. And I'm not saying you should carry alcohol with you, but it's so tiny.
It's perfect for a parent-teacher conference or a...
I really like the larger one. I really think you would have more use out of it, but Harper would probably love this just because it's her size. She'd fill it with apple juice.
That'd be great, having her walk around the playground with a tiny flask.
Hey, did I tell you what she asked? How to spell for her Valentine's. There was one kid in particular in her class she's not a fan of.
Asshole?
No. She wanted to know how to spell the F word on her Valentine. Because she says, I know how to write U. It's the letter U. She was going to put that on this poor kid's Valentine. And I talked her out of it. I said, just put from Harper. I can't send a kid to preschool with a Valentine that says, fuck you. I just can't do that.
What was the did she pick out the specific card?
No, no. They were all the same. I made a pile of them.
Oh, were they all identical? They weren't?
Yeah, you just had to put who it was from and who it was to, and you had a list of the little kids' names. And she's like, is this one for so-and-so? Like, yeah, she goes, how do you spell the F word? It's like, oh my God, you're not even supposed to know that word.
She probably meant fantastic. She was like, fantastic you.
Yeah.
That's what she was
going
for. I'm
sure that's what she meant.
Wow.
Oh God.
Well, that's
how preschool is. Wait till she's in high school.
Gosh, it's just, it's amazing. So back to the flasks. which size do you guys think? We have the little one. Either they're about the same cost to me to get these. I mean, this one's a little bit more, but I don't care. I just want to know what you think would be cooler. Because this is neat. I mean, it is. But I think you might appreciate the bigger one. So tell me in the comment sections, big one, small one. I'd be interested to hear what you think, and then we'll figure it out. And we'll get our logo on these, obviously. That's where we'll go from there. Some of the ideas, Spirit Box. I kind of thought of that too. Phantom Flasks.
That's
kind of good. Spirits to Go. I kind of like that.
Yeah.
We'll get you a Spirit to Go container, which is a flask. I like that. I really kind of do like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that might work.
Traveling Spirits.
Traveling Spirits. Traveling Spirit Box. I like that. Thank you for, I'm trying to find who said that. Spirit Holders. I'm just looking here on the comments. I'm not, I'll look again later. I'm trying to, oh, here we go. Pat said that. Okay. Thank you, Pat. Ghost Trap. Who are you going to call? Spirit Radio. Okay, yeah, everybody's saying bigger one. One says little one. Yvonne says little one. Enchanted Decanters. That's
good. I like that.
So, okay. We'll go. We'll probably end up going with a bigger one, but I just want to let you guys know. We'll announce it on the regular episode or on an episode here very soon. Brewski Brew. It's not coming with anything in it. We're not, like, filling it and sending it to you. Spirits of Spirits. Yes. So anyway, we'll talk about that here in the coming weeks. Once we have those ready to go, and we'll make an announcement and make some, you know, cheesy video that's kind of funny, and you'll be aware that they exist. And if you do renew, before then, hold on to your idea, you know, of what you want for your bonus, and let me know, once we get them in, and I'll be happy to send you one. At that point in time, rather than, you know, getting another bell or whatnot, just we'll get you hooked up once we get them in, if you're renewing prior to it being ready. Let's do one more call here tonight. Hi.
Hi. I'm a new listener, and I actually love you guys' show. I want to talk about my experience that I had. I was listening to a previous podcast, and the girl was talking about how her grandmother went to go say goodbye to her, and then, like, she got the phone call later on that morning, and they said that she had passed away. So I actually had that exact same experience, which is crazy to me because I couldn't believe that somebody else has had it, and every time I tell people, they think I'm crazy. But the night when my grandmother passed, which she was like a mother to me. That whole evening, like, weird stuff was happening. Like, my fiance's video game kept freezing and, like, light kind of kept flickering. But, you know, you just put it off because you just think, like, oh, this is a power surge. But then that night, like, around 4, I would say, I was dreaming about my grandma, which I never, ever do. Like, I love her, but I never actually have dreams about her. So, like, I was dreaming that, you know, she was coming to say bye to me, and she was actually going into heaven, and she was just smiling at me. And literally, the moment that her soul went into heaven, my phone rang, and my mother tells me, your grandmother just passed away. So I don't know if her spirit was, like, walking around that afternoon, that evening already, and just, you know, signaling to me that she was going to pass away. She was very sick with cancer, so she was already kind of, like, in and out of consciousness most of the time on her last, you know, days that she was alive, because she was constantly on, you know, medication, pain medication, so she wasn't really very lucid. But yeah, it's crazy to me that somebody else had my experience. I just felt like I had to call and tell, you know, oh my God, the same thing happened to me. Like, I saw my grandmother in my dreams, literally departed to heaven, And right then and there, I got a phone call saying that he passed away. So I'm really excited about finding you guys' podcast. And yeah, thank you for always putting on a great show. Bye-bye.
I think it's just your classic death visit story, mm-hmm. and it happens so often. I mean, we have a ton of people write in and call in about it, and you have to imagine how many people that have that experience but don't call in or write in sure. about it. You know, that it's probably one of the most common stories that we get.
Mm-hmm. I'd be curious as to how often there's something like that happens when someone dies, mm-hmm. you know, to an individual where it's a close thing like that, where it's a grandchild or a son or a daughter to the parent, where there's some sort of visitation or some sort of sign that's as clear as day. That's mm-hmm. not just, this is, I could kind of read into that being a coincidence, but actually happening. Like how many out of 10
yeah.
deaths does that occur with where it's someone who has, you know, a surrounding like that, mm-hmm. you know, I'd be really curious, and I don't think we'll ever know the answer to that, but I think it's probably much higher than we actually think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Good story. Thank you for calling in and sharing that one tonight. We do greatly appreciate it. I see and hear, I think spell check. I see or hear my grandmother in deperp. I think there's a spell check going on there. I don't know what she was meaning to say there, Tessa, but there you go. Casper's friendly drink, Derek says. Decanter Diablo. Casper's concoction. Love the setup. I think that's not a name for it, but that's booze, you know, like booze for an idea. Stacy says ghost croc. And several people said, I read that very wrong.
How about spirit away? We've got demon away.
Spirit away?
Spirit away.
I could see that. Spirit away. I hear or see my grandmother in dreams
okay.
all the time. But it's so hard to know if it's wishful thinking of her. It is hard to know sometimes. And I imagine sometimes when situations like that, it can be real. And sometimes it's mm-hmm. imaginations. It's hard to know exactly what it is, you know, when it is actually occurring. Well, that's going to wrap up today's The Haunted Flask. I'm just keep reading them as we
okay.
go. Keeps starting to talk and then I'll just stop and read something like squirrel. So that wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you guys for calling in. Thank you guys for watching us live on Facebook. Tuesday nights, 8 o'clock, Spirits with Spirits, where you do it every single Tuesday, unless we're ill. Unless someone has the scurvy, then, or rabies, we do stop for that. But the flu, we'll still do it. If it's hospitalization, we'll still do it. But scurvy or rabies, no go. That's yeah. how this works. So just so you're aware. If you like the show, become an EPP at ghostpodcast.com. Brand new EPP episode going to be posted tomorrow in the late afternoon. So have you begun working on that at all
no.
yet? Okay. I don't know. Sometimes you're a little bit ahead.
I'm never ahead on that.
Okay.
No,
so
I don't.
So tomorrow, I thought maybe you have a teaser or something for
no,
us.
No, but it will be there. It always works out.
Sure. So tomorrow, be tuning in for that and looking for that at ghostpodcast.com. In the meantime, there's nearly 200 episodes you can listen to. So you really couldn't listen to all of it between now and then. How many days is that of just EPP episodes if you have 200 episodes up there? That's quite a few days
it's
of
like
listening.
Two-thirds of a year.
Yeah. So there you go. Enjoy that. And until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for watching and listening. Another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step 3, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.